This is Ashley Hodge with a post-game podcast after Baylor's, I got to look the score up, was it 74-55? Iowa State beats Baylor in Ames. Baylor's down two guys, Langston Love, Jalen Celestine. I'm joined by Grayson Grunhafer. Grayson, we haven't done one of these in a while, so it's good to have you back on the pod. I know we used to do basketball pods all the time. What'd you see? I mean, that was not what we hoped for. You know, certainly we knew that could happen. Iowa State was better in the metrics. You know, they were higher ranked. We're playing in a tough road environment, veteran team. Baylor shot terrible, and this is what happens. You get a blowout victory for the Cyclones.
Right. I mean, this was one of those games that you kind of knew Baylor was going to have to come in and play a really well-rounded game against a really good team. And the problem is for Baylor, as I've kind of, you know, watched them so far this year, they just, you know, when they face really good teams and the situations aren't, you know, good for them as far as, you know, where they're playing at, you know, are you going on the road? Are you, you know, at a neutral site? You know, the differences there do matter. And, you know, Baylor's had to face a few of these teams now. And, you know, unfortunately, the games that have been on the road just feels like almost like there's no chance they're winning those games. And it's unfortunate. But I think when you go into a place like Hilton, it's just they play such good defense. The crowd gets into it. If you're not making shots, if you're not playing disciplined basketball, you know, things are going to snowball. And to be honest, I felt like Baylor was extremely lucky for this game to be even remotely close at halftime. And it kind of gave you this confidence that, okay, maybe they can settle down in the second half and potentially, you know, maybe sneak one out, because Iowa State wasn't playing great. But unfortunately, in the second half, you know, Iowa State's defense just kind of strangled Baylor, you know, for a while, you know, to start that second half. And they just kept pulling away. Baylor just did everything they could do to try to keep it within 10. At the end of the day, they weren't able to do that. Iowa State pushed the lead out. They made a couple shots late. Not even late. Baylor made some shots late, but Iowa State started making three-pointers, and that really created the separation. And then I felt like Baylor was just kind of done from that point on. Really unfortunate performance, but one that, again, like you said, not really shocking based on what we've seen from Baylor so far this year.
Yeah, it's disappointing to me for a variety of reasons. I mean, obviously, you know, Drew said this a lot, but he hasn't had his full complement of players in practices all year. You finally get all eight guys practicing together. Looked really good against Utah. And then you got Langston out with, you know, I think ankle soreness. Who knows what's going on there? Jalen Celestine makes more sense because you saw him roll his ankle pretty bad at the end of the game. So you figured that might be, you know, miss a game or two after that ankle injury, you know, but you got to get that cohesiveness. I mean, without the cohesiveness, we just don't have enough depth to, you know, beat good teams. The good news, if you're looking for a silver lining, I really liked what I saw from Josh today. You know, he ends up with 13 points, 10 rebounds. He was really active, three steals, had a block, no turnovers. Those are all good numbers from him. So that's encouraging. You know, Jeremy Roach made three threes late in the game. You know, you'd love to see the ball go in for him. I mean, he's got to be good. He's got to be all Big 12 good, and he just hasn't been. And he wasn't really good until that stretch, you know, in the second half. He ends up with 16 points. Norchad Omier, you know, he was good early, 9 points at halftime, I believe, seven rebounds, ends up with only 10 rebounds on the game and only 9 points. So I don't think he scored in the second half. He was 1 for 7 from three. He's open, but he's open for a reason. You know, we hear that, you know, his form is better and that he's able to make threes in practice. But I mean, I think we have a large enough sample size that you don't want him taking 7 threes in a game. That's not part of the game plan. And then, you know, Rob Wright was really poor today overall. He ends up with 10 points, you know, some garbage points late in the game, saw a three go through. You know, the hoop, only one assist, turned it over two times. That's okay number. Only 8 turnovers. That's a positive number. And then Jaden Nunn was a disappearing act. You know, he only has 3 points, plays a lot of minutes. VJ also 4 points. He was more active in other areas, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. So, yeah, overall, pretty disappointing because you do have some freshmen, but they're battle-tested. They've been in some tough road environments already. You know, they went and he played really well in at UConn and had a chance to win that game. And you're thinking, okay, well, they got past the Gonzaga situation. And then Tennessee's really good. You know, Iowa State's really good. You know, they're obviously going to be the toughest game we had on our schedule, maybe outside of Houston, at Houston. All the other games look, you know, even the road games look winnable. This is one in the Houston game that you're saying, okay, those are probably going to be losses. But, it's just you want to see just, more focus. I like the turnover number was good. I guess, you know, I probably feel a whole lot different if we just shoot our normal percentage of make our normal percentage of shots, and we didn't. But, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I think, obviously the numbers bear it out. I mean, Baylor shot 29.7% from the floor, 64 field goal attempts, though, because they rebounded the ball pretty well, especially in the first half. But then you look at Iowa State, 49% on 49 shots. Yep. They also got to the free throw line 10 more times. They did a much better job in that area. And I wouldn't really say that there were a bunch of calls that I felt like, went the wrong way. I think it was the typical amount when you look at a road game. I mean, it's about what you expect. There wasn't a lot of egregious stuff that I saw, at least. And then I felt like, and this is something that's kind of been reoccurring a little bit, Ashley, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, but Baylor's guards, just, they do not finish well enough in the lane. And, Rob Wright.
Yeah.
No, but it's happened more than that. It just feels like these guys have opportunities to score in the paint and they don't take advantage of them. I know Rob is typically a good finisher. He was not at all today. I mean, he missed one layup that I was shocked. Like, I haven't seen him miss. It was a wide open layup.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just pretty stunning from a guy like him who makes those routinely. But you know what I saw specifically in this game, and specific, there's been a few other games like this. The Baylor guards just aren't able to change their pace when they go to the rim. Yeah. And a lot of it is, having just a different move, whether it's a Euro step, a pump fake, or just being able to slow your gears down, kind of like Jared Butler was able to do, and some of the great guards of the past. None of them really do that well.
Rob can do that, but he didn't do it well today. I will give you that. But I agree with you. I see that in Rob. I see that he has that like change of pace and that can, just rock the defense to sleep a little bit and then get his body into him and make, bank shots or floaters. But outside of a couple of those today, he didn't. Yeah, he had trouble finishing for sure.
And Ashley, it's not so much the dribbling. Like, Rob definitely has that from a dribbling aspect. Yeah. But, some of these guys are getting in the lane and the Iowa State guard or, big is already jumping.
Right.
And it's like, you just need to slow down and let this guy pass you. Slow down in some type of way. And they're just trying to go up through a guy that's jumping by them that's, 6'10". And that's just not going to work. And even against these other guards, like, you're allowing Lipsy to impact your shot just because you're trying to find a body. You're trying to get to the rim really quickly instead of just slowing down, changing your pace, taking another step, whether it's a Euro step or a pump fake, something like that. I think it really cost Baylor, specifically in this game, I guess. But, I think that in general, that was one thing. Another thing that just continues to be a thing that was talked about a lot on the board about just, VJ and Rob Wright not playing well in this game, not shooting the ball well. And you know what? They're freshmen. Right. The guys that have to play well every single time you go on the road are Norchad Omier, Jeremy Roach, and Jaden Nunn. And then, of course, Langston when he's back.
Right.
And those guys weren't good enough in this game, specifically in the second half. And I know Roach ends up with 16, but like you said, I think 9 of those came in the final 5 minutes when the game was over.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one game. We got, easier games on paper. Of course, no game in the Big 12 is easy. Cincinnati's going to be a tough game. And then you got that Arizona road trip. And both of those are going to be probably toss-up games on the road. I think that, there's this is a game that you're hoping for a much better performance, but it was the expected outcome. I think most Baylor fans thought we would get a loss today. And, just the score, is a little unnerving because now this is like 3 straight or 4 straight games against Iowa State where I think they've had double-digit wins either in Hilton Coliseum or the abomination of the Big 12 tournament location where it's a home game for them in that tournament situation. So, yeah, I mean, that's disappointing. You know, obviously, if this game was in Waco, it'd probably be a wholly totally different outcome and feel or vibe. But this is the only time you play them in the regular season. So you would hope for a better showing. But it didn't happen, and now they got to get ready for Cincinnati on a quick turnaround. That's a Tuesday night game. Need the Foster rocking. Hopefully you get those guys back. I mean, Jalen and Langston. I don't know what's going on with Langston. I thought he was turning the corner, played really well in the UConn game, you know, had some pretty solid performances after that. And then, you know, Christmas holidays hit, and, you know, he didn't play well against Utah. I mean, he didn't look like his normal self against Utah. So maybe it's a re-injury, maybe he's just dealing with pain. I don't know what's going on, but certainly not encouraging for, you know, the rest of the season.
Yeah, and they need him. Yeah. I mean, we've said it for, I guess, 2 years now, more than that, really. But they really need him. Like, the physicality,
right,
and the maturity and the size that he brings as a guard, they can't really replace that. They don't have another way to replace that. It's kind of like how we talk about they don't have another big that they can rely on, which is killing them as well. Because you look at the other side and you look at Iowa State, and it's like, man, how many of these guys do they have that they can come off the bench and rely on? A guy like, you know, that Chatfield guy just comes in and just, you can't block him out, and he's just getting rebound after rebound, and it has three blocks off the bench. They don't have guys like that. And unfortunately, not having a big off the bench, I think, has been a big problem this year. It hasn't allowed them to, I think, change their rotations. You're having to rely on Celestine to have to play the four, which is fine at times, but their rim protection just, it goes away,
right,
when you decide to play that lineup. So they have a lot to work on, a lot of things that I think they're going to have to try to figure out if they want to just even get back to being, you know, one of the top, you know, five teams in the Big 12 this year. They're going to have to change some things up. This conference is really deep. There's a lot of teams that are playing, you know, really good basketball right now. And Baylor's got to find their footing here in these next few games. And I know they have some challenges coming up, but, you know, realistically, if you kind of look through the schedule of their next upcoming games, I mean, there's tough games, but they're not really facing any elite teams until they play, you know, even, I think, it's arguable that Kansas is an elite team, but they're not really playing a team like that until the beginning of February. So
right,
there's a lot of winnable games coming up that they really need to take advantage of.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they got to get on a little streak here and play some good basketball heading into February. I think you do have, you know, some great upside with these freshmen. This is another, you know, we know they're going to have some tough games, especially on the road. You know, that's a tough place to play. The students weren't there. I mean, this is no disrespect to Iowa State. I'm sure there's some Iowa State fans that are listening to this podcast, because who doesn't like to listen to a opposing fan base's podcast after you blow them out? But I don't know what to think of that team. I think they're good. I don't know if they're top five good. Like, you know, they're going to be really tough at home. They're solid. Their guards are really good. You know, I just don't know what to think of them. I just thought it was more about Baylor playing really poorly today. And, you know, I thought maybe Iowa State played below their normal level too. But I thought if Baylor, you know, shoots, you know, if they make five more threes and go, you know, 12 for 29 from three, then, you know, obviously this is a totally different ball game. But it is what it is. We got to get ready for Cincinnati and flush this one and hopefully get our guys healthy again and get a full crew, you know, to play Cincinnati. I mean, what's disappointing in some regards though is you have like an undermanned West Virginia team that's missing two of their top three players, and they go on the road and beat Kansas. You know, I wasn't necessarily expecting a win against Iowa State, but I was expecting a lot more competitive effort, you know, especially after these, you know, the brutal non-conference schedule, which really is to prepare you for games like this and so that you're not shocked when you go on a, you know, have a road environment. So I mean, maybe we're just not that good. I mean, that could be a possibility, but you know,
I think that's definitely part of it, Ashley, because I mean, it's not that they're bad, right? It's that when they face really good teams, they don't have the ability, I think, to make the adjustments that they need to. And personally, I think some of it is personnel. I think a lot of it's personnel, to be honest. And it's not really, there's nothing you can really change about that. So you're just trying to work around it. And unfortunately, once you get to this point in the season, if you haven't been able to work out those kinks in some way, in some shape or form, when you start playing these really good teams, it's going to be tough. And like you said, I think Iowa State's really good. Like, just watching them, I think there's something very calming about every player on that team. No one plays too fast. No one's losing control. They all understand their roles. They function really well as a team. Their issue is when they get to the tournament, if a team shoots really well against them, they'll have problems. And that's kind of what we've seen against Houston as well. If you're able to shoot the ball and not allow their defense to really suffocate you, that's where you can run into some problems. And that's probably where where they'll run into problems is when they face a team that's really high powered, making shots that day. Can Iowa State keep up? That I don't know quite yet.
No, they make it difficult on you, no doubt about it. I'm not trying to disparage them at all. I think they are absolutely a top 15 team. I don't know about top five. Time will tell. But they may dominate the Big 12 because I don't know outside of Houston if there's any other teams in the league that really qualify as a top 15 team in the league this year. So it'll be interesting to watch. I think that what I would say is needed going forward, Josh has to continue to play like he's been playing recently. That's encouraging. If you continue to see some progression from him, like he played in the UConn game, I think he had what, 14 rebounds, double double today. That's great. Norchad, you're going to get a double double from him. You don't want him taking seven threes. When he takes threes, it takes him out of offensive rebounding position, and he's a really terrific offensive rebounder. VJ, he's got to, pick his spots. I don't know if he's ever going to be just a night in, night out scorer, but he does affect the game in so many positive ways, even if he's not scoring. Jaden Nunn's got to be more consistent, man. You can't get 3 points from him. We got to have him, in that 10 to 12 point range, game in, game out. He drives the ball in the hole hard, but he's not getting, he's not finishing. They smothered him up from three. I know the scouting report says take him away. Jeremy Roach, he's got to play like an all Big 12 performer. That's what you expected you're getting from him. Rob Wright just needs to continue to play like he's playing. I mean, one bad game from him is excusable. And then you got to get Langston and Jaylen back. I mean, it's a combination of things, but I think we could be good. But yeah, it's probably, right now, I would say this is not a team that's going to compete for a national championship. Maybe by the end of the year, they'll shock us and get on a roll and be playing much better. But so far, it doesn't look like the team that has what it takes to be making a six game run in March.
I agree. That's kind of where I'm at as well. And when you have a night like this where you got, three of your guards shooting 1 for 9, 1 for 5, 4 for 17, that's where you really need guys like Langston Love and Jalen Celestine to be available, because then you can limit some of those minutes. Like Robert Wright shooting 17 shots. I mean, I think he averages under 10 a game. And so it's just like he's putting up a bunch of shots, some that he maybe shouldn't be taking, and some that he's normally making, they just didn't make in this game. But you're exactly right. I mean, the Norchad Omiri piece, I mean, he was 1 of 7 from three, but probably even worse than that, he only shot 4 shots in the paint that weren't threes. And it's just like you need him by the basket, especially because I don't believe Iowa State is the best rim protection team that Baylor's going to be facing. He needs to be able to impact the game more in the lane than he did in this game. And so, yeah, it was a little disappointing. Guys need to make shots in the paint. Guys need to make shots from three. And if they're able to do that, I think they still can have some success. And it is important to remember Iowa State defensively, very, very good, and not similar to a lot of the teams Baylor will face in the Big 12, because as we know, even though the metrics are really good, this conference at the top is not what it has been in recent seasons, aside from Iowa State and Houston.
Yeah, I mean, they're really old. They got Mklimovic. How do you pronounce his name? I know you've been working on that all day. Do you have a pronunciation?
Mama Klimovic.
Oh, nice. You attempted it. I'm impressed. Yeah, no, I mean, he's young. He's a sophomore. And then you got, I think one other non-senior in the rotation. Like, well, Joshua Jefferson's a junior. Yeah, and then other than that, everybody's a senior. So Lipsy's a junior as well. So you have all upperclassmen except for Milan. And Milan's really good. I mean, obviously banged home three threes against us today. I mean, they're veteran, and we are relying on, you know, two freshmen. But we do have, well, Asamoah today, too, had to play, you know, a few minutes. But, you know, when we have our full complement of players, I mean, we also have six upperclassmen in the rotation as well. So it's not like we're a young team. I mean, we got Edgecombe and Wright, and we do rely on them quite a bit. I mean, they're really talented, but we do have six upperclassmen. So you would expect more consistency, especially on the road, you know, because of that. Okay, well,
yeah, you definitely would.
Well, we did a free throw defense was pretty good. I was actually encouraged by that. So we're up to 52 in defensive efficiency after that performance. You know, the defense was fine overall. It was the offense, 0.85 points per possession, according to KenPom. That's a pretty bad number. And, you know, there's just clunkers on offensive performances. Like VJ, 61 rating, Jaden Nunn, 44, Rob Wright, 57, Norchad Omier, 80. So plenty that didn't go right, you know, from the offensive end of the court tonight.
Yeah, a ton. And, you know, honestly, this game, it's really weird, Ashley, because I know we talked a little bit before, you know, we started. And it's just like, talk about two completely kind of different approaches that these two rosters have taken and that these two coaches have taken towards building rosters specifically for this season. I guess you could say past seasons as well. And I know Baylor's got some guys that they've developed, but I mean, it's very interesting to see, you know, Baylor's got three guys in the starting lineup that were transfers at one point and then a true freshman and then one guy that's kind of been, you know, going through the entire time in the program, and that's Josh O. You know, so you lose Langston Love, who's kind of your other guy who's been there forever. It hurts you because you look at Iowa State, like a lot of these guys, you know, some of them are homegrown. A lot of them are old transfers,
right?
Like very old guys who have been around the block. I know Norchad and Jeremy fit that bill, but it just feels like they did a really good job of finding guys who just kind of fit what they kind of believe in and what they do. And they're good players that, you know, what they had a bunch of guys that were at, you know, the, I guess you'd say G5 level, and they're really good and they fit really well together with this Iowa State culture. And I think you saw that as this game wore on. Iowa State just, you know, continued to bring in different guys who were good, you know, quality players off the bench.
Yeah, they've really
Baylor didn't have a bench.
They've hit in the portal, you know, at a really high success rate. Gilbert is terrific. Curtis Jones is great. Deshaun Jackson, I think, is a great piece for them. They're a big guy. Joshua Jefferson from St. Mary's. I mean, they've done a really good job in the portal of, you know, getting pieces that fit their culture and what they're looking for. And, you know, Baylor's done a good job too. I mean, you know, Jeremy, I think, is going to be, by the end of the season, one of the better players in the Big 12. You know, we just need him to take it up to another level, in my opinion. We got to get Norchad, you know, I think is terrific. He's been really good all season. Didn't really have a great second half today, but you know, overall, I've been super pleased with him. And then, of course, we could talk about just a ton of transfers outside of those guys. You know, I mean, and Jalen Celestine, I think I'm really happy with him. Nunn's a transfer. I mean, overall, he's been good. Had kind of a clunker today of a performance, but you know, it's, I'm sure these guys are going to want to get in the gym, get shots up, and, you know, really, really try to, you know, reverse that Tuesday against Cincinnati. I was looking at that Cincinnati score a second ago.
They're losing.
Yeah.
They're down by two.
Oh, down by two. Okay, minute left. So they might end up pulling that out. They were down big to Arizona, so they've come back and turned that into a basketball game. But, yeah, it'd be, you know, if they lose that game, they would have lost because they lost to Kansas State, so they'd be 0-2. They'll be a really hungry team coming into Waco if they end up losing that game to Arizona.
And that's one of the best defensive teams in the league.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a very interesting challenge for Baylor. They're fifth in the country defensively. Obviously, just for perspective, you know, Cincinnati's 54th on offense, fifth on defense. Iowa State's team Baylor just played today, fifth on offense, seventh on defense. So a very well-rounded team, which, again, There's not another team like that in the Big 12 aside from Houston, who, and Houston doesn't even, their metrics aren't as good, specifically on the offensive side.
Right.
So it is one of those things to keep in mind. Baylor's got to play both those teams on the road this year. Probably going to be two losses. But outside of that, I think these games are more about Baylor. Baylor has to start finding, you know, kind of who they are and finding this team's identity. I don't know that they're there yet still. I mean, I think part of that is the cohesiveness of not having guys available. I think part of it is, you know, just trying to figure out where guys fit best. I think that still has been something that they've been working on, you know, playing Rob Wright more at point, you know, moving Jeremy Roach around a little bit more, just trying to figure out the combinations that work best. But like you said, Ashley, I mean, that's really hard to do when your full complement of guys aren't practicing,
right,
and aren't playing in every game. And it does, I think it does kind of prolong that process a little bit to the point where we might not see, you know, the best version of Baylor, however good that can be, until later in the season. I still don't think that'll be good enough to be like a top 10 team, but I do think it could be good enough to be a top 16 type team.
Yeah. And, you know, keep in mind, I mean, teams do really improve by the end of the year. We got plenty of examples. You know, just we faced one in the tournament. North Carolina was headed to the NIT, and they got hot at the end of the season a couple years ago, took it to the national championship game, really should have won. They were up 16 on Kansas, and Kansas ends up winning that game in the national championship game. But, you know, stranger things could happen. I mean, we got the talent to get there. It's just about, you know, finding the right combination, staying healthy, getting your full complement of players on the court at the same time. I mean, all those things matter. And hopefully we can be blessed with some better health in the new year.
Definitely. Hopefully we can get all these guys healthy and finally get to see Langston Love go through another stretch. Hopefully like you did last year where he was just on fire. Hopefully by the end of this season, we can see something close to that. Because when he's going, when he's healthy, when he's playing well, he can be just, I mean, one of, if not the best, six man in the Big 12.
Oh, yeah.
Got that kind of upside, which is huge. Something they desperately need that.
No question. I mean, yeah, if we can get him healthy, then I think it changes the upside of this team tremendously. I will say, I have noticed some troubling body language from him. I hope it's not a sign of just, you know, frustration, you know, bleeding into some attitude issues. You know, I mean, it's hopefully it's competitive spirit and not, you know, disgruntled with his role and, you know, the, like, or his lack of progress on the injury front. But I just an observation. I've noticed, like, his body language, and in my opinion, hasn't been the best, and certainly surprising from what I know about his character. And you know, I think he has the potential to be a really good leader for this team. So hopefully, whatever's going on, he can flush it and refocus and, you know, really be the positive force, you know, for Baylor basketball that he needs to be going forward.
And they need that from him. I mean, he's truly one of the leaders of this team. He's been in that building a really long time.
He and Jaden.
They need his
and
leadership.
Josh. Yeah,
they need all.
Yeah, those guys have been here. They need to provide that for sure. All right, well, I told you 30 minutes. Thank you for doing this. You've been listening to a Sic'em 365 post-game pod after Iowa State's 74-55 win over Baylor. Next up for the Bears is Cincinnati on Tuesday. Hopefully we get a sellout crowd for that. Sic'em Bears.